Hello, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode 584. I'm keeping up with the old tradition that when I get rid of an episode, I don't go back a number. I don't do that. I guess most people don't even give an episode number, because when they toss it, it just never happens. Now, my problem is I don't do prep particularly, and I just turn it on and start talking about something. Hopefully I've got something in mind when I start. And this one just became crappy. I didn't like it. So there it is. And it was supposed to be a two-parter. It was part two of two. And I'm going to try to get back to my subject. I wandered off the subject and created all kinds of problems for myself. So this is episode 584, part two, on the subject of fasting versus starving. And I think I talked pretty good about what exactly both fasting and starving were about. Now I'm going to talk about when you can tell when somebody is starving. Now, I'm not talking about food-wise, and I'm not sure that starving people don't do a good job of cleaning up and trying to make sure they don't look like they're starving when they really are physically, you know, hunger starving. This is what I'm talking about, kind of a starvation of the soul, starvation of the heart, starvation of the mind, those kinds of things. How do you say it? So we had been going through all that. You know, I'd spent a long time, and I'd stopped right there. And I hate it because now it's the afternoon. I started out in the morning, had a whole bunch of stuff in the middle, and number one, I only vaguely remember what exactly I was talking about and where I stopped. And the worst part is, I had this incredible need to keep going, that there was some place where this is headed that I really wanted to go, and it's gone. I can't remember it. So, I don't know, I may revisit some of the conversation I talked about before, hoping that I'll be able to drudge back up in myself what I was really wanting to get at. I was giving a few examples of this stuff in my life. Of course, I was trying to do it without revealing exactly what I was going to talk about, because I hadn't gotten down to really defining it. I think I got down to defining it okay. But then I wanted to go back and talk about some of those examples. Let me give an example for me, personally. I grew up... Well, see, this is tricky. I grew up in several places. I grew up in a very large city. I grew up in metropolitan Los Angeles. Well, in Southern California. It's not really metropolitan Los Angeles. It's Southern California. It's not just L.A. It's everything. I grew up in a place called Garden Grove. Now, I only grew up there until I was probably about 8. And from there, we moved to a much smaller kind of rural place called Clovis, New Mexico. I often go there for work now. And it was a real culture shock for me. And then not too long after we had been there, probably only about a year, we moved outside of that town to a place where our nearest neighbor was probably 3 miles away, and it was about 20 miles away from the closest town of any size at all. Clovis was about 30,000 back then. There was one little town that was closer, but it was probably about 60 people lived there in Broadview. And we were between those two in a place that was not a town. You could say we lived on a farm. We actually lived on what we called kind of a mini ranch, I guess, in some places. Lived on some acreage that belonged to my mother's family. It doesn't belong to her now. It used to. Anyway, So I we lived out there for probably, I'm thinking about 3, maybe 4 years. I'm thinking it's only about 3. We left there when I was probably just on the cusp of turning 12. I seem to recall that I was probably just a little bit over 11, so I think we only lived there for about maybe even 2 years. 2 to 3 years we lived out there. And I found out that I enjoyed that kind of life. Now, I've never gotten it back. Never. And I think I've been kind of starved for it. I'm a person that enjoys solitude. I enjoy what could be called a quiet life, which is kind of funny. You know, with people who say, gee, Jay, you talk all the time. My wife would say, I can't shut the man up. You know. I think it comes from me just having been a very quiet child, needing to make up for lost time. I don't know. I don't know what brings it on. The fact that I've got an overactive brain, I've got to do something with it. I used to just be frustrated. Now I talk about it. Of course, now in my talking, I just frustrate other people. You know? There's some fun there. How about that for a new form of frustration? Wee-haw. Anyway, so So here's another chance, and I've tried a few times. I can't, you know, I've never been able to convince my wife to do it. And I don't think she's very convinced now, but she's trying to, I think she's either trying to humor me or be nice. And I appreciate both, but I don't appreciate the fact that she's ignoring basic needs in herself. I'm somewhat accustomed to not having what I want, so it really is kind of pointless to me. Either that or I'm Zenith and I don't have a lot of real wants, except for distance from people. You know, if you could say, boy, he's just a rabid xenophobe, that's probably pretty close to what I am. Anyway, excuse me. So I was looking at myself, and I can say to myself, Jay, are you a starved person? You know, you can say, well, I'm a country kid, and I live in town for this reason, this reason, this reason, and this reason. I says, but honestly, I've gotten to the point to where I've lost all those reasons. I'm just living in town. I'm living in town because we're somewhat stuck there. My wife is very, you know, is very pessimistic about the fact that we can ever sell our house. You know, that's the way it is. I guess I can't express how, well, yeah, I can, I suppose. When you're starved like that, when you're needing something and you're not getting it, how that is. Now, I think a lot of people feel that way. I think that's probably the one great common experience that I think we can all share. Unfortunately, it's not a good one. It's not good. You know, I'd have to say that before the American Revolution, that was probably something that we all shared in common, and we did something about it. It helped, I think. I think it really did help. You know? We got together and we revolted against a government and set up our own. Of course, now I tried to make sure that we try to make that as unpalatable, and even tried to make it illegal in our country to do that. So that's lost to us. So when it comes to my liberty thoughts, I'm lost. I'm absolutely frustrated. So, and when I look around, there's a dwindling number of people who even care. They don't want liberty. Certainly, even to the point to where it's not even that those guys say in lip service, yeah, I want some liberty, I want some freedom. I mean, these are people who just don't care. You know, and they'll even say it, I don't care about liberty. I care about money. I care about, you know, what's on TV tonight. That's what I care about. So the other things, oh, screw them. Who cares? So, you know, it's like, so I have to seek these things myself. And I've always sought them away from other people. Because I find or I perceive that I offend other people with my presence. And if I am myself, they're going to send the cops after me. Homeland Security is going to come because they'll think I'm some kind of terrorist and embryo because I don't like the government. I don't like this. I don't like that. And you go, well, you know what? I won't say another word about it if I can just be away from you people. I'm not, you know, I'm losing my affection for saving other people. I can't even save myself. I'm trying to. I can't even convince my wife to go along where I go. So, you know, you could say, oh, but Jay's fighting the good fight. And I've heard, and people have told me that. It's like, no, I'm not fighting the good fight. And I finally figured out what exactly that means. And it means very much this. It means that, you know, fasting, it would be, I'm doing the good fight, I'm fighting a battle, it may be a losing battle, I may not win, but I'm enthusiastic and I'm enthused and I'm doing this for everybody else. You know, it's hard to, you know, you can do it for yourself, I suppose. Well, you know, after some time you get tired, you know. If you've hit your head up against a brick wall long enough, you just walk away from the brick wall. There's some people who just keep tapping away at it because it's all they ever do. You know, I'm sorry, I've got other things to occupy my time and my life and my happiness. I don't need to do that. I don't need to. If I want my, usually I will choose to vote with my feet. If there's a circumstance I don't like, and people say, well, then you should change it, I tend to say no, because it seems like a majority of the people here like it that way, and I would be fighting a battle against a bunch of people who want things to stay exactly the way they are. And you know what? I'm not up to the battle. And I take as my leads, my guides for this, people like Abraham. Did he fight a battle? No, he didn't fight a battle. Did he have neighbors that were very different from him, which he shared very little commonality with them? Yeah, he did. You know, he traded with them. He was not on bad terms with them, but they weren't his people. And they would freely say, hey, why doesn't your son marry our son? We're all neighbors. Wouldn't that be a nice thing to do? And he'd say, no. My son is going back to where my family came from and going to marry somebody from there. And of course, they say, oh, you're so hoity-toity. And I guess, I don't know what he would do. Maybe he'd just smile. I don't know. But I give no indication that he was the kind of person that was fighting for rights or anything along those lines. I get the impression that he and his sons, the patriarchs, you know, Isaac, Jacob, and Jacob's 12 sons, that these were not people who were going to fight for any kind of cause. You know, they just weren't the sort. And uh, I, you know, the only thing worth fighting for in my life is my integrity. You know, the whole battle of trying to save other people. And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm grateful for those people who do fight for those things. But I can't be one of them. I don't have the strength. I don't have the willpower. I'm grateful for those who can. I'm not one of them. Never felt like I ever have been one of them. I am a good talker, and I guess I'm somewhat persuasive. And if it comes down to, you know, I've always picked my wife as the person that if I can convince her to do one of my crazy stunts, that would be something, and that would give me an indication. For all I know, I'm fantastic at doing this on a level for almost everybody else, that it's just my wife is just a mule, perhaps. You know, she's stubborn beyond all expectations. In fact, you know, thinking about it, I think that would be a very apt and ready accusation to put on her. Oh my gosh, Tecum Carey is under some horrible haze. The skies are clear everywhere until I start getting close to Tecum Carey. Father, what's the deal? I talk to God sometimes. So I guess the way I'm a starving person now, you know, I do fasting too. I do things that I think are right and I need to do, but so often, and this happens constantly. I think it happens for the simple reason I live in a small place where there's very few people to do things, and when I do something, they start passing 100 things off to you and saying, "Well, here, if you're so good at that, let's give you 100 things," and they almost give it to you until you snap. And boy, is that wrong. You know, you don't do that. I said, our job here isn't to find out how much crap you can take. And then just short of the time when you're about ready to break, you're supposed to have some sixth sense to say, okay, we're going to stop right here. He can handle this load. And you're going, no, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's proper. Now, if I'm wrong... And I very well could be. There's things coming into my mind that says, no, Jay, that doesn't sound like the right thing to say or the right thing to do. Because we're trying to make something out of these people. We're trying to make them better and trying to make them capable of more. And you go, well, then maybe I'm the wrong person. Maybe it's good. You know, I've always wondered, how come I don't get considered for a branch president? I rarely do. I think it's mostly because of my job. My job makes me travel, and I'm not around very much. And people say, you know, they might say, is Jay never a possibility? And they just say, no. Because Jay travels too much. He's not around. You know, if he had a regular job and he was just living here in Tecum Carey and a happy person, there wouldn't be a problem. But... there is. So therefore, that's it, you know. But also, I think there would be a whole much larger problem in that I don't think I would be the right person in the first place. You know, because of this, because I've got the wrong attitude on too many things. You know, boy, Jay, you need to change. And you go, well, you know, I'm just trying to understand the world and try to understand where I fit into it. And I want to make, you know, I don't want to be an absolute malcontent. I don't want to be an absolute misfit. So I'm trying to figure it out. And the fact that I'm not very, I don't have a lot of respect for, for people. In general. Now that's bad. I should be kinder. I should be more respectful. says, but I have a problem with it. If you're not doing something respectable, I don't feel like giving you respect for it. And I know that, I was just reading an article today about saying respect people, respect children, respect, they're children of God. And you go, okay, I need to do this. There's this big red light in front of me. I don't know what that pretends. It almost looks like it's a fire. It's so bright. Oh, no. You know what? I bet you it's a checkpoint. They're pulling people over. So I should probably stop doing this. This is Jay Nimro. I had to put something in here as the second part of that thing. This is episode 584. And I'm going to get off of here because, yeah, it's got flashing lights. Either there's been a wreck here or there's a big sting operation going on. This is Jay Nimro, the Life Autistic. Have a great day.